Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, Joel Embiid posterizing John Collins, dropping a little silent shimmy, and hey, Embiid told me no trash talking from him this year. Is this trash talking?
Not trash talking. This is just the flex. You know what I'm saying? The shimmy and the flex. I'm here for it.
Wait, so did you believe for like 2 seconds that Joel was going to stick to that when he said that to you?
I mean, I didn't really believe it for 1 second. He said it last year, by the way, and it lasted like 3.5 weeks. So maybe he can go 4 whole weeks. This
maybe
time,
he shouldn't even try. Shimmy, the world is better.
The world is better.
Well, it worked.
Joel.
The shimmy
just
worked.
Listen to those who know. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside our two Stanford legends.
Let's go, Nerd
Nation. NBA insider Ramona Shelburne. A little coordination going on over there. Yep. As Eddie Murphy would say, you got to coordinate.
Hey,
and our two-time All-Star, Chinne Agumake. I am Rachel Nichols. Coming up, we will talk about the Warriors finally grabbing their first win, then delivering a post-game message to their critics. We'll talk about who's going to get the last laugh, but first, revenge games are always fun. You know what I'm talking about. Player X leaves Team Y, and maybe it's a free agent departure, and the team feels abandoned. Or maybe it's a trade, and the player feels betrayed. Usually, at least one side is a little bit angry, and the atmosphere is spicy, and all of a sudden you have grown men in the stands dressing up as giant cupcakes, you know, for example. Anyway, last night there was supposed to be a star-studded double revenge affair in Houston as the Thunder rolled into town. There was Chris Paul, who was traded off a championship contender to a rebuilding team barely a year after he signed a contract that was supposed to keep him with the Rockets until 2022. And there was Russell Westbrook, who, yes, parted amicably with OKC, but come on, details like that have never stopped Russ before. And when he showed up to last night's game basically dressed as a pro wrestler, it certainly felt like it was on. Except, well, as the game unfolded, that feeling of basketball rage that can be so fun to watch wasn't really there. Instead, it turns out it was 1,400 miles away in New York City. Yeah, the Knicks hosted Chicago last night. And apparently Bobby Portis felt this was the time and place to take out some of his frustrations on the Bulls, who he'd said, quote, blindsided him by trading him this past February. Now, we need to be honest. This was not exactly a pot boiler at the start. New York fell down by 18 after the first quarter. But, and here's a sentence I didn't picture myself saying today. Bobby Portis just flat out refused to let his team lose. Over and over. Seriously, he sparked the Knicks, often turning to give Bulls, you know, that bench, one of those see what you're missing looks. And in the fourth quarter, he brought it all home. First, there was this three that tied the game. Then with less than 2 minutes on the clock, watch this. Randall with the perfect pass, Portis getting Lauri Markkanen to fly by, and in Mike Breen's own words, bang. Just drilled it, and the crowd at the Garden went insane. Yeah, that's John McEnroe there. And yeah, Porter said he gave McEnroe a high five, even though he later admitted he didn't actually know who the tennis champ was. But hey, it didn't matter. Portis will go on to hit another three, allowing him to finish with 28 points, 11 rebounds, and an entire arena full of fans chanting his name. It was a perfect revenge game script. And maybe, in a way, it was better because it was so unexpected, especially compared to the hype that was going on, yes, halfway across the country in Houston. And I do want to note, eventually, there were some spicy moments between the Rockets and the Thunder. In the closing minutes, we got Russ barreling toward the basket, kicking it out to P.J. Tucker for a much-needed three. We got this stare-down between James Harden and CP. Fans just free to imagine all the bad blood of this past summer between them. Harden loses the ball here. Chris ends up with it and makes a nice hockey assist to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Still, by the time the Rockets won the game, the whole thing felt very civilized. Russ even visited OKC's locker room afterward, high-fiving old friends, joking around with CP. You know, they say that revenge is a dish best served cold. But last night, it was a dish best served by surprise. So, guys, Portis, he was great. And R.J. Barrett also had a terrific game. Big nights. This was New York's first win of the season. They're now 1-3. So, Chiney, is this providing some Knicks fans a little bit of hope?
It is providing hope. I think R.J. Barrett, you know, sometimes you wonder how long will it take for them to really establish themselves. Based on his international experience, like, he sort of was an early pro. And, yeah, what did he have? 19 and 15? You know, and he's also assumed some of the bring-the-ball-up responsibilities just because of their point guard situation with Dennis Smith Jr. and then also Frank Ntilikina. So, yeah, I'm impressed with this. I guess I'm hopeful that they're able to play hard and at least build a foundation for the future. I like Kevin Knox, Julius Randle. You know you're going to get energy and effort. So, yeah, there's hope in New York for the first time in a little while.
Right? It's also the way they won, too. I mean, it's a game at home, and they come back on a 15-0 run to spur this comeback. And I think that was meaningful to them at home because I think they were feeling it. I was talking to some folks with the Knicks this morning, and they were, you know, it was really important. They felt like the guys were kind of tight at home, had to deliver on some of the pressure that's on them from the Garden fans. And for Julius Randle to make an adjustment in the second half, and he was turning the ball over early, he made the adjustment in the second half. It was a nice win, and I think just the way that it came about, where they lose back-to-back, and then they should have had a day off, right? Usually you get a day off
after
that. That's
what I was going to say. They had to go to extreme measures for this, right? So they had a they had to practice on a day they shouldn't have, right? And this was made a big deal of in New York.
Yeah.
That here Coach Fizdale puts them through a practice the day after a back-to-back, which is ironically what Jim Boylan and the Bulls got in trouble for.
Yep.
So do you think that needing that to get that result is something, or do you think that he'll have to do that again, or that it'll
I think
be
he's
going
to have to do that again. And if you know Fizz the way we know him, he comes from Miami Heat culture. Right. I mean, like, you don't mess around. If you're not playing the way you're supposed to be playing, and especially with, you know, they have a young team here who's still learning them how to play, and they're still trying to instill a culture of discipline there. I think Fizz is in the stage of, like, we're going to set the tone early. Mm. Same way Jim Boylan was last year when he did that in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I thought the fact that that paid off into a win was huge for them, because if they don't go on that run late, now we got 0-3 Knicks. We have a whole 0-4 Knicks, and we have a whole different story.
You're in the sunken place.
No, it's not that bad today. It's not that bad.
Get a win first.
Two tough games ahead of them on the road. So I think that it was very big that they got this now, because this could have spiraled into an 0-6 kind of situation.
Yep.
They did it at home, which I think is so important. That arena, nothing's like that arena.
Yeah.
It's cooking. It's great. There are skeptics who are saying, it was against a Bulls team that can't really seem to still get its act together. I'm curious to see where both of these franchises go. Neither one, I think, is maybe bound to beat the world this year. But you just want these moments, right, where you see the young players do the things, the promise. You want the promise to come out just a little bit here and there, and there's going to be down games after this, but you need a little something.
Hope.
And at home, at the Garden, it was very good. Shouts to Johnny Mack. If you don't know who he is, like Bobby Portis, look him up. He's a very established tennis champion. I want to get back to the game in Houston. Russ was able to make a statement playing against his old team, scoring the win with a near triple-double. And while he was plenty chatting with the Thunder teammates post-game, he was quick to say that, hey, when he's on the court, his ex-teammates are not his friends, guys.
This is how it goes. When I hoop, I have no friends. On the court, they know not to talk to me, but Steven's a real close friend of mine. But inside those lines, there's no friends. Spalding, that's my friend and my teammates, and that's it. But before the game, after the game, I'll talk to my guys. I go talk to them right now, but it doesn't mean that I don't have friends. But during the game, I don't. It's that simple. If you try to be my friend, I ain't going to say
Russ being Russ, and he has reason to be chipper through three games with Houston. The Rockets' rebound percentage and assists are way up from last year, as are their pace and fast break scoring. Although ESPN's Royce Young had this great observation last night as well, quote, Russell Westbrook has to be so confused right now with Steven Adams battling him for rebounds. I like that. Truth. Still, though, Ramona, how do you feel about the way the Rockets overall are integrating Russ?
I think they're doing great. And I think when they traded for him, this was what they envisioned, which is that he pushes the pace and plays at this style. This is actually more of a Mike D'Antoni type style than James Harden was playing over the last couple of years. Like, Mike D'Antoni in the 7 seconds or less Suns now has, like, a great quote about the 6 seconds or less Rockets when Russ is running the show. And I think this is what NBA observers were thinking, is that they would just trade off. At 5 or 6 minutes, Russ would run the show. Then 5 or 6 minutes, James would run the show. The idea is that it takes some of the pressure off of James so that he's fresher at the end when he should be in charge. And we'll see. I mean, he hasn't gotten his shooting stroke going yet, but this is a promising start.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the Rockets have more balance at the point guard position now. We're talking about pace. Last year, they were the fourth worst in pace. Now they're the fourth best. That's the Russell Westbrook effect. And again, y'all, he's the most athletic, most explosive point guard in the NBA. And pairing him with James Harden, especially when James is resting, is just really smart, because then you can get that flow of the game, that natural pace, that the way the NBA is sort of moving in this direction. So I think that the Rockets, they've actually upgraded, even though you can say, like, Chris Paul with his basketball IQ and the way he plays the game, mm-hmm. is methodical and can find shooters. Right now, PJ Tucker shooting 67% from three. Like, they're finding knockdown shooters even though Gerald Green is out. So Russell Westbrook, I think his energy is just infectious.
Yeah, well, there's no question that right now everybody is very happy, right? Russ and James are saying, hey, we've been like this since high school. We've been tight. They are platooning them, which is what they started out doing mm-hmm. with Chris and James, right? We had this, I feel like we had these exact same conversations years ago. Man, they're alternating them, and that's so great, and they, but whatever. The question is, what happens in the final minutes of the game, down the stretch, when they're really tested? How do they play together? Last night, what we saw when it was a close game toward the end was that the space created by the Rockets and all those shooters that Russ frankly just didn't have around him last year in Oklahoma City lets him work down to the basket in a way that he is one of the best in the league at. And if that can stay consistent and the off-ball, on-the-ball questions, all of that stuff can melt away a little bit, if Russ isn't shooting threes, if Russ is the one who's getting taken advantage of the space, kicking it out to James, who is taking those longer shots, that he will start making, guys. Come on. James Harden is going to make his threes.
The tide will turn.
I see it all working. It just has to work for it to work, because we've seen it, like, supposedly be ready to work and then
didn't work
in Houston. Be interesting to see it develop. But, man, Russ was fun barreling to the basket those couple times.
Yeah, Houston, we have liftoff.
There you go, our Houston girl right there on the end.
Waiting to say that.
Coming up, we will talk about Fred VanVleet, because he was the latest to send a defender sprawling. We're going to run it back. Some of the best ankle-breaking step-backs of all time. The professor back in the lab. You know you're going to want to stick around for this.
It's a make or miss league.
Make, miss.
Ovo je liga promašaja I pogodaka.
Make highlights. Trae Young turning Josh Richardson around. On the crossover.
Oh.
And then he buries the three. Then we have Rashawn Holmes dunking all over Will Barton.
Ooh.
So today, little highlight roulette. Would you rather cross someone up or dunk on them?
I'd rather cross someone up, but that dunk right there, like, why would you try to take a charge, though? Like, you should just take your L instead and move. But yeah, I like the crossover, because those are iconic.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Allen Iverson fantasy.
It's like when you live in L.A., you want to live in New York, and you live in New York, you want to live in L.A. So, like, I've crossed somebody up, but I've never dunked on anybody, so definitely the dunk.
I think you and I, Ramona, are not.
Short girl problems.
I think our dunking
probably
got happening. I was going to say it passed, but it was never there. Miss explanations. Mike Scott bumping Damian Jones out on the break. And the officials went to the monitors. There was a lengthy review. Lengthy. Children were born during this review. Scott was given a flagrant 2 and ejected.
No.
Ramona, thoughts?
It's a little harsh. I feel like he just, this is not like the Eagles game.
Right.
This is just, he was running.
Why
it's maybe.
Up again? It's maybe. Man already got ejected last night.
You have to sell the not foul also. Like, he obviously fouls him, but you have to sell that it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just his reaction to it.
Sensitive.
Right? I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens from here. Make spooky season. Isaiah Thomas dressing up like an Oompa Loompa for Halloween.
Just lean into it, all
right? Which, again, as a fellow short person, I am so here for. We've got excellent costumes, by the way, so far. Kat was the Joker.
This is Joker season because of the movie.
No.
Right? Well, yes, because then Bradley Beal and John Wall showed up as different Jokers. And Paul George, this is my favorite so far because I love Game of Thrones. And Paul George was the Night King. So, all right. Today, which was your favorite? And keep in mind, we had John Wall and Bradley Beal showing up at the same party dressed as the same guy.
Same thing. Mine definitely Game of Thrones. You know all about the Queen of the Dragons, Dothraki, everything.
Thank you. Although I will say, shout out to IT, because that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was fun.
Just own it.
Just own it.
Paul George's makeup artist clearly coming to L.A. has been good to him. Miss Careers, another day, another play. Where Jordan Poole was on the wrong end of the highlight. Jim producers, why you gotta do this? Why? Why are we doing this to him?
He tried.
This time he gets dunked on by Brandon Ingram.
Oh.
Remember during the preseason, he did get crossed up twice. And of course, we're gonna replay this again.
Because
and people in our newsroom are mean, apparently.
So cool.
At least he didn't get hurt.
Me pass.
Do you think that he is excited for October? Or do you think that maybe he just wants to go take away all the Jump producers' editing equipment?
Yes. Veto.
Right?
Like, why are you killing him like this?
Didn't Shaquille O'Neal declare like a 1 week or something embargo with Jackson the Fool?
Right? Jordan. He's a good player.
He is a good player.
Speaking of highlights. Fred VanVleet sending Markelle Fultz sliding across the floor on his step back.
Stutter.
I am saying Fred VanVleet, I did not know that he had this in his bag. Right? Look at this.
So I think that Fred VanVleet served notice during the playoffs last year that he was this guy, that he wasn't just happy to be in the league, that he could actually be a major player for them going forward. And poor Markelle, though.
Yeah, giving you 18 points per game.
That's worse than VanVleet.
Put some respect on his name.
And he had a tough patch at the beginning of last season, and he worked back from it. I'm all for this. I have not seen this a ton from him. I'm liking it. It's good. All right, time to run it back. Here are the best ankle-breaking step-backs of all time. Yes, the professor, Mr. Bobmer, back in his lab. Number 5, Nate Robb on Reggie Jackson, 2012.
Oh! The slip and slide!
Gosh, that's like a meniscus tear.
And when the little guy does it, right?
Slip and slide!
Let's see it again.
Slide to the left. Slide to the
right. So good. You got to make the shot.
You have to make it afterward.
Number 4, J.R. Ryder on Willie Anderson in 1994.
Oh! That's
and he just paused. Yeah. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, were you sitting?
He enjoyed that way too much. And he smiled, too.
Look at him. We got Kemba on Mirotic. This is just 224.
Oh, that's just like big
man. It's the big man fall where your feet come up.
And Nikola leaned into that one because once he was on his butt, he just was like,
I would have done like those volleyball back rolls.
Right?
That's what I would have done.
That's cool.
Right? And the Kemba shot went in again. This is what you need. D-Wade on O.J. Mayo in 2008. Okay, that was like a 14-foot clear. Look at that.
That's bowling pins
right
there.
Exactly. Got the guy next to him down.
Strike!
Young D-Wade, not good. And, of course, you knew this was going to be number one.
Yes.
Because the man licks his lips. James Harden on Wesley Johnson. 2018. Pause. Stop. And there you go. Yeah, the bench liked it. But, again, watch James Harden. Watches him. Licks his lip. There you go.
Y'all,
and then take
that. I have him. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I have it on a T-shirt. That whole silhouette on the floor. Mm-hmm. On a T-shirt.
This could be a top 50. I think I'm nominating this for a Jump specialty show with, of course, Allen Iverson's going to end up number one in there somewhere. I'm just saying. Let's get to the Warriors, who got in the win column last night. The Dubs topping the winless Pelicans on the road. Draymond Green posting a monster triple-double, while Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell combined for 50 points. These are all sentences I've not gotten to say in the last week and a half, guys. And here, in fact, is what Steph and Draymond had to say after the game.
Everybody loves to label you when you're down and when you're losing. That's easy. It's easy to get on TV and say whatever you want. It's easy to just, you know, throw darts at a team that's trying to figure it out based on how much, you know, success we've had.
We still have a lot of improvement to do. You know, when I said we suck last night, I see a lot of people blew it out of proportion. A lot of former players who ain't never let blew it out of proportion. We suck. And we're still not very good. But, you know, I've actually known how to lead my entire life, so... You know, those that have never led shouldn't probably talk about leading.
If you want to get on, say whatever you want to say, fill that 24-hour news cycle, that's cool with us. We're still going to hoop and just play basketball.
So someone clearly showed the Warriors some videotape of, as they said, former players getting on TV to talk about them. I asked our beat writer, Nick Friedel, I was like, who are they talking about? And he said that there wasn't like a name that they gave. Do you have a theory?
My thought is Charles. I mean, Charles on opening night was pretty cold.
Right, but maybe that they're referring back to what he said at halftime to Clay. I don't know. They were talking about the last 24 hours. Apparently, the Warriors are angry, but Chennai, I want to know who's going to get the last laugh, them or their critics.
I think the critics actually are going to get the last laugh just because the Warriors have been so good for so long that they've been immune to a lot of criticism. You know, coaches always say that winning covers a multitude of sins. Well, that's how it's been for the Warriors, and now that's not the case. And it's been their defense that's been the issue, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because the Warriors are unique. When they have this defensive philosophy of anchoring their defense on the perimeter, most NBA teams anchor their defense in the paint, like helicopter bigs like Anthony Davis or Rudy Gobert. They anchor their defense on the perimeter. Well, they no longer have Klay Thompson. And They no longer have Andre Iguodala. No longer have Sean Livingston. Even KD at 6'9" gave you length on the perimeter. And that all masked the aspect that Draymond Green at 6'6" was able to hold the paint down. Mm-hmm. Now you have D'Lo and you have Steph. Those guys, defense is not necessarily their strong suit. So, yeah, they feel a little bit more exposed, mm-hmm. and we have a right to talk about it.
Well, I think also, though, last night was a really important game for Draymond Green because he stepped in front of the microphones, said some things the last few days, right? And he said, you know, you blew it out of proportion. Okay, now watch. This is the first play of the game. And Draymond, instead of passing to Steph, instead of passing to D'Lo, takes it to the rim, mm-hmm. okay? He has an option here, and he has not necessarily always been aggressive like this offensively. He tends to be more of a like a point guard mentality in that power forward role when he has the ball there. But for him to go, okay, this is how we have to play. I can't eat fourth anymore. I can't be deferential anymore.
Well, he's not fourth anymore, too, by the way.
It's him and Steph on the court. That's it.
So, and they will need more plays like this because one of the problems is their defense is still going to struggle. Yep. Right? I mean, there will be a lot of nights, as Steve Kerr himself said, where we look like this. And so what their offense is turning into is a much more of a half-court offense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are made baskets at the other end that is then forcing them not to have those transition buckets that are so much a part of their motion offense. And so I think we are going to have to see more of that from Draymond, not just taking responsibility and charge, but making those kinds of play. The X's and O's have to follow too. It's good for them. They got a little bit of their swagger back last night.
Yep.
The truth is always in the middle. It's not as bad as it looks. Yep. It might not be as good as it might look, and we will see what happens from here. Coming up, we're going to talk about Kawhi Leonard. He has his most assists of any four-game stretch in his career. We want to talk about that uptick in playmaking. Take a look. We will break it down. Here's what The Jump recommends for today, though. Jackie McMullen. She has this amazing piece on the app. It's about the Brooklyn Nets and how the KD-Kyrie tandem came together. There is a lot in there, but there's this quote from KD. I look at Kyrie as someone who's an artist. You have to leave him alone.
I'm talking to Kevin Durant. I'm talking to a two-time league NBA champion, a league MVP, a career 27-point-per-game scorer, a person I consider to be the best in basketball. Excuse me. He is the source. So if he's talking to me about Kevin Durant, ain't no double-checking it. It's Kevin Durant. Yeah. This is what he said. Now, if we come to find out that he was untruthful, that's on him. Because he elected to communicate with me. We were talking about free agency. Kevin Durant, I'm here to tell you right now, as much as we talk, he never said a word to me about free agent. Not one word. If I had gone on the air and said, Kevin Durant told me, Brooklyn, New York.
Did you ask him?
One time. That was it. But he said, man, I ain't talking about it. And I respect it. Because why? It was important to him to keep his stuff close to the vest and private. Now, my response to him was, now, when I find out from somebody else, don't get mad. Because you did have an opportunity to tell me.
Check out more exclusive content from The Boardroom on Instagram. You can catch the Free Agent Frenzy special with Kevin Durant and Stephen A. Smith coming Wednesday exclusively on ESPN+. So go get your subscription because that stuff's good. All right, welcome back to The Jump. I'm alongside Ramona Shelburne, Shanae Agumake. I'm Rachel Nichols. And as we mentioned before the break, Jackie McMullen profiled the evolving culture in Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie now there, including there's a story in there about Kyrie cutting off communication with team officials during the team's trip to China. It's sort of in a larger section talking about Kyrie's moods, how on all the teams he's played in, there's been times where he doesn't really talk a lot. Nets coach Kenny Atkinson denied that account. But KD, when asked how he handles Kyrie's moods, he said, quote, I look at Kyrie as someone who's an artist. You have to leave him alone. You'll know that he'll bring to the table every night because he cares so much about the game. Now, it might not be how other people want him to care about it. He has his way of doing things. I respect who he is and what he does. So I thought this was really interesting. First of all, KD clearly, you know, we've heard them say a few times over the past 6 months, like, he's my best friend. He's my best friend. And it's to the point where some people have been like, why did they keep saying it? That, to me, tells me about their friendship and how close they are. Because that is a real quote, not just defending someone off the cuff, but saying, hey, I understand this guy. And this is why I still like him and what he gives me and the beauty that he gives me in his game and our friendship. I love that. I didn't think the communication in China thing was as big a deal. What struck me, Ramona, was a couple anecdotes there about how Kyrie didn't first want to come to some Santa Monica practice sessions that you had previously talked about, that he didn't want to remove his hat for a team photo. Yep. And he was just like, nope, nope, I'm not doing it. Where do you think the Nets and KD's sort of approach to Kyrie's temperament have to be this season?
I thought Kevin's quote, I had the same reaction to Kevin's quote, which is like, wow, this guy really knows him.
Yep.
And, you know, he understands his friend. He understands, I mean, I'm sure in their own communication, he's gone through that. Like, there's a part of the story that talks about, you know, it took a minute for, like, Kevin and DeAndre were close when they were living on this cruise ship in Brazil at the Olympics. But it, like, took a minute for Kyrie to become part of that friend group because, they, you know, Kevin's explanation was like, he was, you know, he just wanted a title. He was coming down off of something. Right? He had a long,
so he didn't
long
talk
year.
To, he didn't talk to us very much, and
so
I pushed back on him.
He understands him, right? And I think that it helps that Kevin and DeAndre are his friends because they're not going to be looking at him sideways going, what's wrong with this guy?
Right.
Yeah. Whereas in Boston, I think a lot of people did when he would go into one of those places.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm just thinking to myself, so I met Kyrie for the first time in the McDonald's All-American game. Whoa. I'm going into my senior year, and we spent a week together in Columbus, Ohio. Mm. And so, yeah, see, bus in the house. So it was just a bonding experience with a whole bunch of young high school people. And Kyrie has always been an enigma. You know, he sort of just danced to the beat of his own drum. And when I heard KD say these things, I wasn't surprised because KD has always been the type of guy to let people live. He let Russ live in OKC.
Ooh,
when he joined the Warriors, he let Steph and Klay live. And now he sort of operates his best game when he does have another superstar that he understands and builds a friendship with. So for Kyrie, everyone that knows Kyrie since he was 15, 16, knows he's just a little bit different. But that's how artists are, and that's how savants are, honestly. And he's a savant with the ball.
And look, I think part of the issue are the people around him taking it personally. And before people in the NBA knew him so well, I think they did take it personally, right? We heard stories about his teammates in Cleveland. During an NBA Finals, he's really withdrawn from the team, and the reaction from the guys are, what's going on? Why aren't you talking to me? Me, why aren't you talking to me? What is going on? Is the bond between us not working? It happened a bit in the Celtics situation where younger guys being like, well, why is he being mean to me? He's not being the leader. And that's not selfishness. It's just that when you're in a situation and someone is being not the way you expect, you want to know, what am I doing wrong? What's happening here? And I think by this stop, people are aware it's not the teammates. It's not the other people. It's not the coaching staff. It's Kyrie. And if you know that it's him, that it's not an issue of static between you, then there isn't this worry and energy and angst and sort of the things that tear apart team chemistry. So I think there is a let Kyrie live attitude going on in Brooklyn. I think that's great. I am curious if some of the very smaller specifics of he texted back to a training session, I'm not doing that. Or he, you know, I won't take off his hat for a picture where he said, no, I'm not doing that. You can Photoshop it out if you want to. If things like that are going to clash with Kenny Atkinson, who admits in the story he is more of a college-style coach, who sort of runs that sort of live it or love it or leave it program. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's ever going to come to a head and we see one of these like one game team suspensions
also,
or something
not
this year or not. But I think the general moodiness thing, I think everyone's over it. It's fine. It's Kyrie. Go let him live.
Like, that's okay. It's just that you live in a team ecosystem. And so when you are one of the leaders on the team and you act like that, it's fine if Kevin Durant gets it, if DeAndre Jordan gets it, even if your other teammates get it, but it also doesn't necessarily make the younger players want to follow the same system that Kenny Atkinson has built that franchise around.
Right. Yep.
And so, you know, I like the part of the story where she describes, you know, they get there 2 hours before practice every day, you get a massage, you go to the weight room, you do some on-court work, et cetera. Like, that's all fine when you have young journeymen who don't have their own established, routines, but when you have superstars who have their own trainers, who have their own systems, their own way of doing things that have made them successful in the league, now you're imposing that on them. There's an adjustment period that I think will be interesting to watch all year long.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be watching for like Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant is a 2-time finals MVP, a champion. Like, we don't worry about him. I think what we should be watching is the Caris LeVerts and the Spencer Dinwiddie's playing with Kyrie and seeing how he empowers them.
Right now, though, Kyrie as a net is a fantastically fun experiment. These games have been so good, and he's been so fun. I just want to see this happen. I don't care that much who he is or isn't talking to off the court at the moment when he's dropping 40 or 50 points. Well, we'll see how it develops. Kawhi Leonard continuing an encouraging trend for Clippers fans last night against the Hornets. He not only dropped 30, but he dished out 6 assists. Now, in the 4 games since he's joined L.A., Kawhi has 30 assists. That is by far the most he's had in any four-game stretch of his career. So, Chinee, how do you feel about Kawhi's passing this year?
I love it. I think Kawhi, because Paul George being out, Kawhi is getting that MVP treatment now. You know, he's getting doubles. He's getting trapped. And so now his passing numbers are going up. Yeah, he's giving you 27, 6, and 7.5. So, in my opinion, this is the best version of Kawhi.
Yes.
Just because of his ability to create for others. That's something we didn't really think he would do starting the season.
Yeah.
And then you insert Paul George back. Like, this is why the Clippers, after game one, were like, whoa, they're the real deal. And if he's still improving his game, let's think about Kawhi in San Antonio, like where he was and to where he is now. Like, he's still improving. This is why the sky's the limit for this team.
Well, I mean, he's doing this because he's taking what the game is giving him, right? He's taking what opponents are forcing him to do. And I think you saw in that first game, like, the Lakers tried to play him a little more straight up. And then after that, everybody else said, we're going to double.
Yeah.
So we'd rather have Ivica Zubac beat us or Landry Shamet beat us than Kawhi Leonard. And it ends up creating this system where if Kawhi can get great at this kind of pass, look, I mean, Zubac is wide open.
Yeah.
Stand there and make it.
Draw two, kick it.
So,
I was going to say, the thing is, the people he's passing to, it's a deep team.
Yeah.
Who
it's
will?
Not just Kawhi and the Kawhiettes. I mean, this is a team of guys who can shoot and who can, you know, make things happen on a basketball court. So that's why they're dangerous and the favorite for the final. Anyway, coming up, Giannis still looking like an MVP, but is his supporting cast getting enough credit? We will discuss that after the break because they're not Giannis and the Giannisettes either. They are good. Stick with us. This week's NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts with a great Eastern Conference matchup between the Bucks and the Celtics. This is at 7:30 Eastern, and then it's the Jazz hosting the Clippers.
Again.
Our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame, SportsCenter, 7 o'clock Eastern on the ESPN app or the network. But, you know, it's in your pocket, just saying. Let's get to the Bucks, where Chris Middleton, not Giannis, Chris Middleton led the Bucks in scoring last night. And let's not stop there. 7 Bucks scored at least 14 points in the win over the Cavaliers. Ramona, is this Bucks? I don't even want to say the supporting cast, because they are a team, right? This is what a traditional team looks like, right? One really big star and lots of other good players. Are they a little underrated to you? What do you think?
I mean, I guess they're underrated in that Giannis gets a lot of the attention. But this is reminding me of Mike's team in Atlanta, right? This is the way that he built the Hawks, and they just never had that great superstar to help them win playoff series. But this is always how Mike's teams like to play.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, like, they can't be underrated when they just won 60 games a season ago.
Yeah.
And
well,
I think they have
changes those.
Well, they have changed. You know, Brogdon no longer being there, but 9 players averaging at least 9 points per game. Middleton, Bledsoe, Matthews, Lopez Squared, Korver, George Hill, like, you name all those guys. Those are legit players. So I think they've surrounded Giannis with people that he can be confident in, you know, distributing the ball to.
To me, this is always, they should always have gotten more credit than they did coming into this season.
Yep.
And I'm not a huge fan of supporting cast as a way of talking about anyone anyway. This is a really good team. As you pointed out, yes, some tweaks, but they won so many games last year. The question remains, though, hey, is this a team that can win in the playoffs? That has been a criticism of Bud. You point out the way Bud's teams play, that kind of thing. And there's that sort of extra ticking clock there because Giannis has said in so many words here and there, hey, we have to do well this season. He hasn't quite said what that well would be for him to sign that Supermax.
Right.
But that pressure is, of course, there. A lot of people picking the Sixers in the East. And I'm interested to see how these different Bucks players respond to that throughout the course of the season in the playoffs, because basically what the people picking the Sixers are saying, hey, there's more stars on that team. The stars around and near Giannis aren't as bright. And I think they want to show people we're pretty good. So we'll see if they do that. I want to get to this next story because we have been following it on The Jump. The NCAA's top decision makers voted unanimously today to, hey, imagine that, start the process of modifying their rules to allow college athletes to profit from their name, image, and likeness. This is after the same officials fought tooth and nail against this idea. They like the idea of companies like Nike or Adidas paying endorsement money to the schools instead of the kids getting it. But the state of California forced their hand here, and with more states incubating legislation, now the Board of Governors wants to immediately begin figuring out how to update its rules, with changes scheduled to be complete by January 2021. Board Chair Michael Drake said of the decision, quote, "We must embrace change to provide the best possible experience for college athletes." Additional flexibility in this area can and must continue to support college sports as part of higher education. This modernization of the future is a natural extension of the numerous steps that NCAA members have taken in recent years to improve support for student athletes, including full cost of attendance and guaranteed scholarships. Chinee, I mean, look, you can tell from my voice, it's just a little hard for me to applaud people who are forced at knife point to make a change for them talking about how they're embracing change or embracing it because everyone made you. And by the way, they spent lobbying dollars in California to try to fight this. They spent money to try to prevent athletes from getting money. That's how much they wanted the schools to get to keep the money that they're getting off the athletes. What do you, how do you feel? Because I'm apparently still all worked out.
A little bit.
You know, it's so ironic because you mentioned the cost of attendance, and I just was remembering that I just got my cost of attendance settlement check in the mail, and my sisters and I were in a group chat saying, like, who got the most money?
Right.
I got $4,000 because they were off on that number. And I could have used that $4,000, that $1,000 per year instead of eating at Chipotle. Maybe I'm eating at a restaurant, right? Oh, my gosh. These are my highlights. I can't even believe you guys found this. I'm as grateful.
You were a very good college player. You were drafted number one overall.
Okay,
to find your highlights.
This is a great time. But, you know, I think the criticism is that, like, they say that scholarships should be your compensation, right? But it's really interesting because the degree you get sometimes is not the degree you wanted to get. You know what it's like at Stanford. When we're there, it was work as student athletes, you know, softball and basketball. Yep. It was work. And there are a lot of students that are your peers that are also doing work, and they can profit off of their name and their likeness. What at Stanford, it was like building apps and starting businesses.
Yep. Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're student athletes that are pretty much working a 9-to-5, and then on top of that, going to school. And then you graduate, and you're like, okay, was this the degree that I really wanted? Sometimes it just doesn't feel right, especially when you're, you know, we talk about the 1% that makes big money in the NFL or the NBA or the WNBA, but the 99%, they should get a piece of the pie as well.
Well, I mean, it's a good point you make about the degree you get, because there's a lot of things, the doors that are closed. Like, you can't go study abroad. You can't take afternoon classes. Oh, that's when we practice. You know, I always remembered every year I would do an internship, and we'd have to, like, run it through the compliance office to make sure that I didn't get that internship at Sports Illustrated for Women because I was a student athlete at Stanford, that this wasn't an extra benefit, right? So there's all these stupid rules that need to, like, go away or at least be revised. But I think what we're really talking about is a fundamental system change, and there is so much more work to go. And I'm frankly, like, yes, there is a gritting your teeth and saying, like, that statement was obviously written by a highly paid political communications consultant, and they did a nice job writing it because they're embracing change, because they have no choice but to embrace change. But I, for one, I'm just glad we're not in the court system, because this could have gotten longer, uglier, and more expensive, to where at least now the NCAA says, okay, if we must change, at least we'll be a part of it. At least we will not fight it anymore. And they're going to try to determine some of their own ways that they're going to change rather than have it forced upon them, which it already has been.
I mean, look, I think they saw the tide of public opinion turning. LeBron James, a big part of changing that public opinion. He tweeted, quote, "It's a beautiful day for all college athletes going forward from this day on. Thank you guys for allowing me to bring more light to it. I'm so proud of the team and Uninterrupted bringing focus to this and to everyone who has been fighting this fight. Not a victory, but a start." He's right about that. The Uninterrupted team did a big documentary on this that was really effective. He's been very outspoken. Draymond Green's been outspoken. Kevin Durant has been outspoken. And when voices like that help younger players and reach a hand up, I think it always makes a difference. It's going to make a difference now when these guys are actually getting compensated for some of what they earn, that notoriety that they're bringing their school. Coming up, we will talk about the better duo. Name a better duo, people. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, or Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis?
Oh.
I guess we'll find out when they face off in the League Pass game of the night tonight.
Let's go.
We'll discuss the Miami Heat hosting Atlanta tonight. We are finally going to see this team at full strength. I am excited. Jimmy Butler making his Heat debut against the Hawks. Remember, he missed the first three games of the season due to the birth of his daughter. And check this. His daughter is named Riley.
Wow.
But Jimmy wants everyone to know she is not named after Pat, because it is spelled R-Y-L-E-E. Chinee, getting to see Jimmy run with this team, what are your expectations tonight?
For First of all, they've already surprised us without Jimmy. Kendrick Nunn, even Tyler Hero had a great preseason as a rookie. But I think this is where the identity is going to come through. I mean, we just saw Eric Spoelstra really turnt, like pointed at all the referees with all the smoke. They wanted all the smoke. Now he's got his guy back. Jimmy Butler is that type of guy that I know it sort of made him, you know, a problem in Minnesota, made him a problem a little bit in the 76ers when he would cuss teammates out or hold them accountable. But I feel like that's the side that they want in Miami. So I'm excited to see what Jimmy does.
Well, he is a Pat Riley kind of guy.
Yeah, totally.
This is the type of player that Pat usually likes to build a culture around, and they went out and got him. I mean, we were debating on this show endlessly, like, who would give Jimmy that kind of a contract, and there was an answer to it. Miami. Not everybody wanted to invest that much into Jimmy Butler, but I think he's the type of player that not only does he appreciate it, it makes him feel validated, because in a lot of the places he's been over the last few years, part of the problem started when he felt like, oh, they're not going to invest in me.
Right, and they didn't appreciate what I bring to the table, mm-hmm. and people who know how to deal with, as you say, the smoke that he brings. Yeah. But they want it there, right?
But yeah, absolutely. And with D-Wade, you know, retiring, he's sort of the next best guy to really fill in those shoes. So I feel like it's going to be a good transition for the Heat fans as well.
Yes, and there's been a passing of the torch because, of course, Dwayne and Jimmy so close
yep.
in Chicago
yep.
that there's been a lot of endorsement from D-Wade of Jimmy sort of setting him up for success with
yep.
the Heat fans. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Our League Pass game of the night, also a lot of fun, Mavs at Nuggets. The Nuggets are off to a 3-0 start, but they're going to be playing on a back-to-back. So we'll get a look at two of the best duos in the NBA. One might be a little bit tired, but they're still going to be coming at each other. Ramona, who are you taking, Jokic and Murray or Doncic?
This is Porzingis? Hard.
It's really hard.
Are we saying this year or in the future?
Right now, tonight. Who are you taking tonight?
Okay, tonight I'll take the Nuggets, even though it's a back-to-back, but it's in Denver, right?
Okay, right.
So that's different. But in the future, wow, I kind of want to go with Luka and mm-hmm. Porzingis just because I think their ceiling is that high.
Yeah, and this is Team International. We've got Canada, we've got Serbia, we've got Latvia, we've got Slovenia, you name it, whatever country, it's right there. So it's cool how the NBA is globalizing. So if you are, exactly. If you're a foreign, watch this game. This is your bag.
I mean, if you're anyone watching, watch this game.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
It is going to be a lot of fun. I think the Mavericks are in a position to threaten for a playoff spot
yep.
this year. That's obviously a different position than the Nuggets are. They want to threaten for an NBA final spot, but I think I see this working. I don't know.
And I also like the other night when Luka had an off shooting night mm-hmm. and they lost that game. Everybody else was talking about the challenge at the end of the game. Luka said, no, that was my fault.
Yeah,
I made
exactly.
the wrong play there.
And that responsibility.
Yeah, and for him that to be that young and already saying things like that, that's big.
All right, this just in at the buzzer. Apparently, y'all have VCRs or DVRs or something, because I might have spilled my drink a little bit while we're having a Knicks discussion.
Oh!
Okay, it happens, people.
Rachel is always spilling the tea.
Points to make. That's actually physically what happened.
Rachel's always spilling the NBA tea.
There you go. And noted Knicks fan, Worldwide Wub, felt like I do... just a little bit.
It's tea, though.
Is a spilled coffee symbolism when discussing the Knicks? But what had happened was it was an accident, right? Come on.
And we all kept it together.
Thank you.
I think that was what was important.
We're talking about the Knicks. We're always mean mugging when we talk about the Knicks.
Praise the Knicks. Talked about them having hope. This is a positive Knicks environment. Today.
And what we're really going to do
on the show, but today
is going to hit the shot.
Or Zach. Oh, yeah, she's going to shoot the basket.
Let's
very
go again.
Round two!
Jump back on ESPN at 3 Eastern. Just watch.
Oh, it's so bad.
Crap.